All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? It's Tuesday. Skies are overcast. Maybe the skies are a little bit frightful, but of course inside it's always delightful when you have the distinct pleasure of having the company of one Nick Sciarra behind the glass, one Barry Laminack in Wichita, and yours truly, Joel Blank, here in studio with Nick as we continue with The Usual Suspects. So we welcome you all in and welcome to you all as well.
What up? His last day in Wichita, right, Barry?
That's right, man. Immediately after this show, I'm hopping in the Laminack Mobile and driving to OKC for the rest of the week. So looking really forward to driving through Kansas again. It's pretty sweet.
I feel like everybody's been asking you to holler at Paul George when they find out that
not
you're going to OKC.
Not everybody, just me.
Well, Dell did.
I was going to say.
Dell did?
In the commercial break, didn't he ask for like a, when he was talking down the line to you, didn't he ask for like a Paul George autograph or something like that?
I think so, yeah. I kind of ignore Dell if I can.
Well, just get an Oklahoma City Paul George shirt and tweet Daryl Morey with it on and see if it has the same effect as it has on the flagship.
See how that goes? Yeah. Okay.
Let's see how that works. How long is the drive from Wichita to OKC?
I am told it's about 2.5 hours.
Oh, that ain't bad.
So for me, that's about 30 minutes. So
Nick, you can attest to that.
Well, he can. I mean, yeah. He does these long, you drive to El Paso, and I, from what I understand, El Paso is a what, a 7, 8, 9, 10 hour drive? How far is it from Houston to El Paso?
Oh, no, it's a, like 11.
Oh, God, 11. El Paso, that's a horrible drive.
Yeah, and he's done that quite a bit, right, Barry?
No, just the one, but I have done like, you know, Dallas and San Antonio quite a bit. Those are regular runs for me, but yeah, when it says 2.5 hours, it's not going to take me that long, because I remember one, I drive fast. Like here in Wichita, bless their heart, they're so cute. They use their blinkers and they let people merge. It's the sweetest thing. It's so cute. See how they're all courteous. I've introduced several new nuances to their driving habits, like the finger, the horn, cutting people off. All things I don't think they were aware of before, but I've really brought Houston with me, so to speak. So yeah, I'm getting some strange looks, but you know, I'll go through a yellow light instead of stopping like everyone else, and then I look back like they're a bunch of suckers. So yeah, it's pretty easy to drive around here when you're as aggressive as I am.
Until you see someone driving with their foot on the dashboard.
I haven't seen anyone doing that up here. I think they're all normal up here, it seems to me.
Oh, so you're saying Houston drivers aren't normal?
That would be. That's
I can't disagree with that. I gotta say. And Nick, I know you of all people will agree with that. They're not in Beaumont now, but you go ahead and have a field day with this one.
I mean, there's bad drivers everywhere. I mean,
oh God.
Not in Wichita.
You're going to middle of the road it now because you're afraid to get another Beaumont situation.
Yeah, I am afraid of the Beaumont situation. I'm not going to lie.
You don't want to get mad at any more salty people.
Yeah, the text line is brutal. Brutal.
That's fantastic.
I love Beaumont.
That is absolutely fantastic.
Wow, you've really changed.
No stories from the road for today?
I lived a really boring life the last 24 plus hours. I stayed in the condo. I came here. Yeah. I did the show. I left. I went straight to the condo. I did a little bit of writing. I wrote some jokes. I started thinking about this pilot that I want to write just for the fun of it, just to write a pilot TV show, like a sitcom. Mm-hmm. So I started writing that, and then I started watching movies again. And then last night I tried, well, the GM of the club came over and hung out. We hung out for a little bit at the club, at the condo. But, and then I tried to sit down, so I promised myself on this road trip that I was going to watch all 3 Hobbit movies and all 3 Lord of the Rings. So I sat down last night to start to watch Lord of the Rings, and I got about 2 minutes in, And it was just like, I can't, I'm already angry because the first minute or so of Lord of the Rings is them telling you about all these rings that they've made. And I don't, you know, spoiler alert, I guess, I don't know. It's an old ass movie, but 16 years, but one of them, like, you know, the one ring to rule them all thing. I'm like, okay, so these rings are magical. And then they cut to a war scene with swords and bow and arrows. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is, I call BS like right off the jump, 2 minutes in. You can make magic rings, but the best you could do for weapons is an arrow? That makes, like, you've already lost me. There's no way I'm going to sit through 9 hours of Lord of the Rings now and be okay with it because of that. So, and then I realized that I'm watching this out of order. I'm supposed to be watching The Hobbits first. So I put that on and immediately fell asleep. The most boring movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, I heard like within, bad reviews about that movie. I still haven't seen it.
I haven't either. Yeah, and you guys know me. I'm out on all those.
I've heard like Lord of the Rings, though. You'll find someone that'll actually like the Lord of the Rings movie. But like Hobbit, like
there are people. See, I am not one of those people.
Yeah, no, and I could see liking Lord of the Rings because even, you know, if you suspend the, you know, if you suspend belief on, oh, well, you know, I guess if you can make a magic ring, arrows are okay. Because they at least they had a battle scene within the first 2 minutes. You know what I mean? They had the bad guy and he was kicking everybody's ass and then he got his ass kicked and his finger chopped off. And I'm like, okay, I'm in on all that. But The Hobbit was just this dude. He checks the mail like 5 times in the first 5 minutes, which is a little excessive. And then it's nothing but people coming over and having dinner for like 30 minutes of the movie. And that's a long time for me to watch a dude with like really hairy feet just sit there and have dinner with a bunch of weirdos. And then they do the dishes. It's so boring. I fell asleep. I couldn't do it. So I was like, maybe I'll just stick to Lord of the Rings only. Maybe I'll skip The Hobbits. So we'll see.
Okay. That's it. I found out. I took Taylor to her first gym class last night. And I realized that parents that have children go into I don't care mode in a hurry because the gym class, it requires a parent, and it literally there's like mats and gymnastics equipment, and depending on how bold the kids are, there's tons to do. Well, you have to have at least one parent with the kid at all times. I'm in there, and I don't realize that one of the mothers is just letting her kid run roughshod on this whole huge room, but she's sitting there with like, I wanted to give her a quarter and put it in the slot of her ass crack that was showing. And like, there's this massive window where everybody else watches
the kids play. So yeah. Whose ass is showing? The kid or the mom?
The mother. And it's like,
Okay. Whoa. Is the mom hot?
No.
Oh, well then. Okay.
No. It's exactly my point. So here's the thing. You would think she's going to do her best to cover up. But instead, she's sitting Indian style and leaning forward with her caboose facing this big-ass bay window where the rest of the people watch the kids run around if you're not in there with the kid. And then it progressively goes down, meaning her waist, the line of her shorts, so that there's more and more crack showing. And I'm like, unless you're fixing my sink, and even then, I don't want to see it. But the plumbers have an excuse built in. But she constantly just kept leaning more forward. And finally,
Keep describing it, Joel. Don't stop. Yeah.
Lisa's mom is with me, and she's on the other side of Lisa, and I are in the room. Her mom's on the other side of the window, and finally, she starts making these faces like, "Do you see this? Do you see it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm trying not to look," but then I'm thinking, "Who cares what I'm doing?" There's 25 people behind the class looking more at her ass crack than they are at their kids running around.
How many dudes had their junk in their hands? That's the question.
Zero. Not even if you're a chubby chaser. There's no way that they're going to be like, hey, that looks really good.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained, though.
That ain't happening, man. It is not happening.
That sound effect.
I was appalled by it.
So was it just because she's ugly or she was also pretty big?
Well, it was a combo platter with fries and a Coke. And at the same time, you would think she'd turn and face the other way because she certainly wasn't watching her kid who was like bouncing off the walls and running around.
So you'd want to see her doing that with the front?
No, I'd want to see her hiding it. Like keep it from the rest of us. That's your trainer. Right? If you feel that comfortable that you need to feel a breeze going down the Panama Canal, whatever, just that's fine. But don't show it to the whole free world. I was like, what are you doing? I looked at Lisa. I go, if you ever do that, we're going to have to talk because you don't look like that. And I don't want
masturbating in public.
That's a possibility. But at the same time, like, you don't just lose all sense of like common decency and let it all hang out like that when just because you have a kid. So that was my evening.
Your friendly neighborhood beer salesman said, careful, guys, you're going to get all of us nerds riled up again. There's still an inhaler shortage from the Wonder Woman debacle.
Huh?
So I guess we got to be careful. I guess I have to be careful dogging Lord of the Rings before I upset all the nerds.
Wait, both of you guys are on careful alert already. I might as well just start dropping false F-bombs. And Nick, you can miss the button and we can all go crazy.
God, he was so mad about that yesterday.
I was furious.
I was too.
These,
to be honest,
these clowns are just lying.
I wish I would have been there because as mad as I was about the pizza debacle and he laughed in my face about that, I wish I would have been there to laugh in his face about how mad he was yesterday about
I was
that.
Angry. Oh, I heard what I heard.
Yeah, you were.
Sure you heard. Yeah.
I heard it clearly on the app. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay, not to mention the text messages. So if
we
you
have
guys
to tell people what we're talking about when we come back.
Yeah, if you guys want to join in on the fun and games and be one of our usual suspects, please, the number 713-780-3776. We prefer you call and not text if you have hate to say, because Nick wants to go one-on-one if you're salty, and I probably would join him. But you can call or you can text on the HRNP listener line, or you can hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects, and we'll be back with more right here on ESPN 97.5.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As we normally like to do, we span the globe before we get into the real sports stories of the last 24 hours. It's been eventful, to say the least.
Yeah, for sure. With the Houston Rockets story yesterday.
Correa's thumb.
Yep.
That popped up
again. As soon as he did that was my thought is, I wonder if that's that thumb rearing its ugly head and having an issue. I mean, I was hoping it wasn't like a freak, you know, bone snap or something like that, but not good that that's starting to become a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Blummer was
a
doing
reoccurring a, problem. I
Blummer
guess.
Did a good job of pointing out what could have happened because it was just a simple swing and with no contact. And at the finish of the swing, he thought it was either a hyperextended elbow or sometimes he said with pine tar, the bottom hand can stay on the bat too long and it's, something you brought up, Barry, early in the baseball season when you pointed out the Springer axe handle bats to try and prevent some of the damage that can be done in those situations. But then, like you, I mean, I started to think about it going, especially when they came back with the update saying he has a jammed thumb in his day-to-day. And the first thing I said was, I bet you that's a reoccurrence. Because I was telling Nick when we were doing the prep for the show today that how everybody says you're never 100% at this point in the season, it's partly because of things like this. Like, if you sprain an ankle in basketball, you're not going to be 100% the rest of the year. And especially with a baseball player, with as much as you use your digits, that's a tough thing to kind of recoup on the fly with.
Yeah, but, I mean, the silver lining in all this is right now he's day-to-day. If it's not so bad that they had to put him on the DL for 10 days.
Nothing broken.
So that's the silver lining. But you know what? I'm like, hey, take a week off, bro. If you need to hit the 10-day DL, okay. I'd rather not see that. I mean, get all this out of the way now, Astros. You know, everybody get banged up and get these out of the way now. Because what you don't want to see happen is him take a swing in the first playoff game, and then he's done for the rest of the series.
Right.
And that's a big – I mean, that's everybody's concern, of course. But you just hate to see that. Get him out of the way now.
Overall for the team, yeah. The biggest point of contention for anybody is let's just not have an injury now. I mean, they're in a great position, and regardless of what they do in personnel moves, you know, they're pretty much, dare I say, uncatchable in the division. So you just want to stay healthy and get primed for the playoffs while you continue to play good baseball. And the last thing you need is some
major injury to happen. So especially when your pitching staff is starting to come back and really, you know, Keuchel had three scoreless innings last night. McHugh has now deemed himself, and the organization agrees, ready to come back into the rotation. So you got guys on the mend coming back quickly now, where it's going to all start falling into place. The last thing you need is some debilitating injury that keeps someone out for an extended period of time.
No doubt. And through the miracle of the internet, I got to watch that game last night. And maybe it's just me. Maybe. I just felt like when it was second and third, Reddick going home, I felt like that was a mistake. Like he should have stayed put.
In which
inning? When he got thrown out at the plate. Did you get to see that? It's towards the end of the – I want to say it was like the seventh inning they had, second and third. And Reddick ran home on a base hit to the shortstop, or on a hit to the shortstop.
Yeah.
Rather than staying put for an out. I know they're going to get that out, but I don't know. I would have rather had second and third in that situation again instead of a runner on second.
Just like when they loaded him up in the eighth with nobody out, and Aoki had a head of steam going around third. And I know the proper thing is don't send him because, you know, no outs and you don't want to run your way out of an inning, but then you got bases loaded, nobody out, and you don't score. And I was just like, oh man, that's when you at least got to get a sack fly there. You got to put contact somewhere into play. But the fact that you just completely botched that inning, I had that feeling all night long, like no matter what they did, that this one wasn't going to be another cakewalk. And even when they tied it and then they walked in the go-ahead run the Mariners did, I was like, this ain't over yet. And then of course the bomb started just blasting off Seattle bats. And I'm going, yeah, this pen is, I know they're good, Barry, and I know the numbers will back it up, but I just don't have a ton of confidence in certain members of this bullpen. And you know how much I feel about Tony
Sipp. Just say Tony Sipp.
Yeah. You know how I feel about Tony Sipp.
Yeah. But now, it was the bottom of the ninth, and I was just pulling up the play-by-play because I couldn't remember. So Reddick starts off with a double. Gonzalez grounds to short. Reddick moves to third. Gurriel intentionally walked. Gurriel stole second. So now you've got second and third with one out.
Yep.
Aoki grounds to a fielder's choice to shortstop. Reddick gets thrown out at home. So you would have had second and third, you know,
two outs.
But you never know. I mean, and then some people will say, well, it doesn't matter. A base hit's going to score that run from second just as well as the run from third.
Right.
So that wins the game. Yeah, but at the same time, now you have, you know, there's no worry of a wild pitch. They can walk, you know, put the force on at any base. But I like having that runner on third and not getting thrown out of the plate on a ball that was weakly hit on the infield. I mean, it wasn't like it was in doubt whether that was going to get through or not. You know what I mean? So, but right. that's nitpicking.
I mean, I think because it wasn't like a laser that he probably thought he can get a jump and beat it. Because it wasn't hit so hard, but boy, oh boy! I mean, it's tough to run yourself out of in that case would have been the winning run, right?
Yeah, yeah. And if you don't run, I mean, yeah, Aoki's probably getting thrown out at first that play. But you know, still, I don't know. Maybe I'm just nitpicking. Who knows? But yeah, Sipp coming in and giving up the two home runs is a bad sign. I did see a rumor though about Sonny Gray.
Yep.
Well, it's kind of back at the forefront of who they're thinking the Astros are going to chase. Mm-hmm. But did you ever hear that the Astros went after the Tigers' Michael Fulmer? That was something I just read today, and I wasn't aware of that. But boy, that would have been great.
Yeah,
apparently they didn't make enough or a big enough offer to get him. But Michael Fulmer would have been a quality pickup for this club.
He has shown that he can be a big time performer. The only one I heard out of Detroit was the one that I sent you about Justin Wilson. I thought, and especially mentioning Tony Sipp, how great would it have been to not have to only go to Tony Sipp last night when you need a left-handed reliever and you could, you know, have some confidence, especially with Harris out. I mean, normally that bullpen is so strong, but look, Gregerson, he still doesn't like have me rest assured he's going to take care of business. But Davinsky's the one guy you don't expect to give up a bomb. And then both those guys give up bombs and they're down, but they're never out. You always know their offense is going to keep them in. But man, the pitching let them down all over last night. McCullers just couldn't find it. I thought, get them through five, get them eligible for a win. This team will find a way to get them back in the game. And he couldn't even get through the fifth. He couldn't spot the ball last night. His location was terrible.
yeah, it wasn't a great game, but it's one of those things where you look at it and go, well, as long as they win the next two, that's par for the course, right? Winning the series.
Yeah, and they did the same thing in the Minnesota series. They dropped the second one in that series, but they came back to win the series. Yeah. So hopefully they bounce back tonight. Brad Peacock's on the hill. He's going to be looking to solidify a starting role because, as I mentioned, with starters coming back for this team, mainly Keuchel and McHugh, that means people are going to have to go and step out of the rotation. I don't know about you, Barry, but initial thoughts for me is that Peacock's already done enough to solidify where he's going to be in this rotation. You know, I think that you're looking at other guys like Musgrove that are going to be out, and Fires has pitched well enough, and I don't know if you saw this stat or not the other night, but Fires and Chris Sale are the two best pitchers in the American League since, I believe, the start of July or the start of June. But I was like, wow. I mean, I'll look it up, but I think it was the start of June, and you're like, really, Mike Fires? But
yeah, if you've watched, you know, the Astros, that shouldn't surprise you, but it is shocking that he's being mentioned in the
right.
same breath
he's
as guys
been
like
better,
Chris Sale.
But to be right next to Chris Sale, I was like, whoa, that's taking it to an entirely different level to just figuring stuff out and not throwing the curveball as much. But man,
yeah, for sure. I it's going to be interesting to see what AJ Hinch does, you know, because you've got guys like Brad Peacock, like you said, that have really earned the right to be on this team. And, you know, for the most part, even stick in this rotation, but it's an embarrassment of riches, because what do you do with guys like Morton and McHugh when they come back? Because there's only five spots. You're not gonna go to a six man rotation. I mean, I guess you could to save the arms for the playoffs,
yeah.
But then you run the risk of, you know, cutting into that lead a little bit by only having Keuchel pitch once every 6 days instead of 5 days, and the same thing with McCullers. But
and
it's an embarrassment
is,
of riches.
In the playoffs,
Peacock's middle relief for sure, right?
I mean, 6 days rest doesn't work, because in the playoffs, a lot of these guys are going to be counted on to come back on short rest. And you got to at least have the endurance in your arm ready for that kind of a reaction instead of needing that extra day of recovery. And you mentioned Morton and McHugh. Morton's already back. And now Keuchel, after last night, looks like hopefully he's on a faster track to come back with three shutout innings. But It's a good problem to have, I guess, but, you know, you're right. It's going to be on AJ Hinch, and it should be interesting how they figure out what they're going to do with these guys so that sooner rather than later they can solidify the five that are going to be going forward towards the playoffs.
Yeah, but I think if anyone's going to be sent down, it'll be Musgrove. I mean, that just makes sense to me. Peacock is, I think him and Devinsky in middle relief is a strong combination of guys that can – No, if you have a starter, a long relief guy, or that, you know, needs to come in for a starter that falters, those two guys, I think you feel real comfortable with them. You know what I mean?
Well, no doubt. And if you need a strikeout, Peacock's that guy. And otherwise, you just know you can always rely on Devinsky to get you out of a lot of situations. So it's a good problem to have.
Somebody texted the show and said, I'd rather smash my thumb with a hammer or have a wrench slip and bust my knuckles than see Sip with another inning for the Astros.
God, that dude drives me nuts. And you already know how I feel about it. Like I said,
I know.
And it always looks like, again, like he just got his hair cut and the hair schnibbles are bothering him, because with the gyrations and the pinching of the jersey and the, just stop it all, will you? You're making money. Just go sit down. You bother me. All right. So Chuck is on hold, Barry. Even though you're on the road, he can't wait to get to you. So Chuck will be joining us in the next segment, as well as plenty of other things going on. If you're a Cowboy fan, someone better get some help for your best running back and get it in a hurry to try and guide this guy through life, because things seem to be going from worse to far worse for Ezekiel Elliott. We'll get to a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Nick, Barry, Joel, Usual Suspects till 4, ESPN 97.5. Barry from Wichita. Nick and I here in the studio. As we continue to roll on, everybody good?
Yeah, can't complain.
Nick, you're not very chatty today.
Well, I just, you know, I was letting you have y'all's baseball segment. Y'all do pretty good going back and forth, talking Astros and baseball. So I was letting you guys have y'all's moment.
Barry, on the broadcast, did you catch the funeral that they held before the game last night?
Yes, that's absolutely hilarious. And I was thinking that we should probably do that for Nick's mic.
Wow.
Wow. Terrible.
Get the headstone and a shoebox.
There is a shoebox in the studio, so we could.
And you could pick your favorite mic flag and sponge and
just bury that thing?
Yeah. I thought that was hilarious, though, that they all wore black, that McCann was the, well, I guess, master of ceremonies, whatever you want to call it, but he had the black robe on. Right. They had the mini coffin with the glove. They had a headstone. They all kind of had a half circle around it in the outfield because Beltran hasn't played the field in, what, all year? Because of the fact that it's been such a good situation to try and get Aoki and Mariznick and all these guys time that he is designated as just a hitter.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
I like seeing stuff like that. That's when you know that a team, that the chemistry is going well, when everyone goes out there to bust this dude's chops and they all wore black and one of them wore a blazer.
Yeah, I saw that.
A black blazer and they had words and that's awesome. That's what you like to see. So that's good news.
Yeah,
that's
the fact that they're tight like that is awesome.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Okay, so your boy Chuck is on hold and he is a great segue to bring us back to what you wanted to talk about. But Chuck, what's up? Your boy Barry is on the road.
Yeah, I see that, man. What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Did y'all hear me better, man? I'm not on hands-free, even though Nick don't think I'm that sophisticated.
It's much better.
I got it to where y'all can hear me. But I just wanted to tell you, Barry, man, if you're going to do the Lord of the Rings, man, you got to do the extended version. Don't do this.
What? I don't have that kind of time, Chuck. I'm going to die in my 70s or 80s. I can't do the extended version of these long-ass movies already.
Dude, I understand, man, but the extended version does it justice. That's my biggest dirt fest. I don't like anything else, but I like the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit crap. I know, man. It's stuff that I'm proud of.
But is there... Chuck,
legitimately, Chuck. You're serious? You're a fan of these? Movies?
What's that?
You're legitimately a fan of the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit movies.
Oh, yeah, dude. I read the books. I mean, they're really good.
Wow.
How do you find the kind of time to read the book that's that long? How do you find that kind of time?
Come on, Chuck. Admit it. While you're driving, you have books on tape.
No, while I'm driving, I'm watching TV.
What? That's my dude right there.
There you go.
Yeah, man. I mean,
I'm sorry, but books
on tape are boring.
If the extended version doesn't have nudity in it, I'm not watching it.
So essentially, you're watching the movie while you're driving the truck.
Oh, I don't drive a truck, man. I just drive a regular car with just stuff in it.
So you got a screen somewhere so you can watch TV?
Well, it's called an iPad.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, you know, you got something to pass the time. I want to listen to y'all.
Barry, yeah, there's your solution. From Wichita to OKC, just watch TV.
No.
Watch a movie. Not.
That's dangerous.
Slap the old laptop on the dashboard.
That's it.
Nope.
And, stops Wolf, and they'll ask you to take it down. But you just put it right back up. It's no big deal.
God. Okay.
It's only 3 hours long, by the way. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Chuck.
It's only 3 hours long, the extended version, 208 minutes. So, I mean, it's
only?
Yeah. I mean, you can watch that, right, Barry?
I think that's the version I have, to be honest with you. So I've got all of them on my computer. And, like, if I fire up the first Hobbit, it's 3 hours and 2 minutes long. So that's Hobbit movie number one. All right. Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug is number two. That's 2 hours and 41 minutes. So that's already 5 hours and 41 minutes of time invested in two Hobbit movies. The third Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, 2 hours and 25 minutes. We are now up to 8 hours for just the Hobbit movies. That's a whole day of work.
Thanks.
That's a whole day of production lost.
I never saw Titanic because I already knew going in it was 3 hours that I just wasn't going to devote that much time to, but there's no way I'm watching 8 hours. No way.
That doesn't even get to the Lord of the Rings, though. The Lord of the Rings, the first one, and I'm hoping this is the extended version, is 3 hours and 50 minutes. The second one, 355. Hell no. So you're essentially talking about 4 hours each. That's 8 hours for the first two movies. And I still would have one more to go. So that's 16 hours for five movies. And then you get to The Return of the Kings, 4 hours and 25 minutes.
Yeah, I don't like the movie that much. You have to, I guess if you read the book, like Chuck, because there's a lot of people that tell me they read the books, you know, first. Yeah. But you got to really
so
like
20 hours for six movies. How long would it take to read the books? It would take you 13 years.
So that's what I was saying. You beat me to it. I was going to go. So for those loyal and devout fans that not only watched all the movies, but also read all the books, basically when they look back on it, when completed from start to finish, they will have watched their, they could have watched their children actually go through their teenage years from birth.
This is why so many nerds. This is why so many nerds are still virgins, because they never had the time to go out and have sex because they were too busy trying to finish The Lord of the Rings.
There's no female nerds Hobbit that series. Like that kind of stuff, too. There's nothing. There's not a common ground.
Same thing.
Nick, don't talk right now.
Same thing.
Because basically, what? Barry has just taken you off the hook with Beaumont people and other people if he keeps going.
I don't care.
Because the nerds are going to be pissed.
Oh, what are they going to do? They're going to write a
Revenge of the Nerds
tweet? Or?
They're going to get you with their pocket protector, Barry.
He's not back in town until Monday, so you guys got time. Just come to the studio.
Anyone that can sit around and find the time to read all these books, yes, Chuck, you included, what's going on in your life? I don't have this time. I had to get a book on tape that took an hour, and I was pissed that it consumed an hour of my time on tape. I can't do it. I need my stuff moving along. Let's get this done.
Josh Ray on Twitter says, we had to read The Lord of the Rings in high school.
Yeah,
God, that's
I believe
awful.
That. I believe that.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. I can see some sort of English teacher making that an assignment, making
what is
you
that,
write
a 14-month school year by the time they finish it?
Speed reading.
Okay, Evelyn Wood. You can Google that if you don't know who that is, but no way.
All texting, no tweeting said he fell asleep trying to watch the extended version of Lord of the Rings. See, I'm telling you, I made 20 minutes of The Hobbit. I was out. I was done. I was like, this is way better than the night pills.
It wasn't funny at all. Like, he didn't catch your attention, The Hobbit?
No. Funny?
Well, because he was supposed to. No. Well, Hobbit was kind of funny in the was a funny character in the Lord of the Rings movies. I figured he'd be kind of funny.
If you're nine, it was hilarious, I'm sure, the way they were throwing the dishes around his little hobbit house. And like, no. I'm seriously on the fence whether I'm going to try to watch these 20 hours.
That's terrible.
There's just no way.
By the way, in a time-saving move in which Barry convinces most listeners to just completely doubt me and hate on me, Scott did send this tweet today. Joel, just wanted to let you know, I got a gift card and new shoes came in the mail the other day. Such an easy process. Thanks for the tip once again, as he sent back his Adidas. I'm telling you, people.
Why was my name dropped in this?
Because you kill me all the time about how like I was a cheap move.
I kill you all the time. I said one thing one time.
It was one show. Oh, my God.
But
it was one show. It was a two-minute bit to get a chuckle, but I kill you all the time about you returning shoes.
Oh, it's come up more than one time. Nick's even laughing. It's
because
come
you
up
keep
several
bringing
times
it
since
up.
Then. I don't. You guys keep saying it. And then everybody, all the listeners,
Joel,
they think
you're
it's
the only
on
one
Twitter.
That still brings it up. No, you are the only one that still brings that up. I promise you. I don't even remember that until you bring it up. I think it just hurt your feelings and you're sensitive about it. And now you feel like a sensitive Santa Claus because everyone is getting free shoes in the mail.
You got me pegged. I can't believe how much you know me. It's just crazy. Well, way to go, Scott. Way to get what you needed and what you deserved. I'm happy to help. That's fantastic.
Well, wait a minute. What was wrong with the shoes, though? Do we know? Because I might have some to return. I need to know how you do
that. On Twitter, I'm sure you can get in on that conversation with Scott and get going on it. I'll actually send
Scott
it to you now.
Scott in Deer Park did
nope.
it?
Scott H. I'll send it to you now.
Oh, okay. That's kind of interesting, though, that now you got listeners returning. Pretty soon they're going to be like, why are we getting so many returns in Houston? Yep. Why? That's weird. Like, the returns from Houston are much larger.
Here's an easy fix. You want to take care of the usual suspects, and we'll maybe ease up on how much we encourage people to send stuff back. It's that simple.
Okay. I like the way you think now.
See?
All right, guys, I want to tell you about one of my favorite places to eat in Houston when I'm in Houston. It's called Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. It's located at 1901 Taft in Midtown, and I cannot wait to get back to Houston. I've already set it up Monday. I'll be there. If you want to come have lunch, come hang out with me. I'll be there about 11. But I can't wait to get back and get some of that food. This road food is killing me, man. I need some of that good Southern comfort and Indian food, that fusion that they have going on. It's outstanding. You're going to love this place. I'll be honest. When I first went, I was skeptical. I had Indian food one time and I was like, maybe I'll just stick to the chicken fried steak. Nope. Don't do that. Go out there. Try their Indian food. You're going to love it. Try the fusion food. You're going to love it. They have a ton of stuff on the menu to get. And like, if you don't want chicken curry, yes, you can get chicken fried steak. But you can get naan quesadillas made from naan bread. They're so good. Joel loved them. The Himalayan heat burger, the wings, the sliders. They have this lamb vindoola. It's so good. It's Haas's grandma's recipe that he's perfected. He brought it out. He let us try it. I'm definitely getting that when I get back in town. Get out there. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. Ton of fusion favorites. Best butter chicken in the city of Houston by far. And they have a full service bar that you can enjoy while you're there. So you can sit there, grab a drink, eat some food, watch a game, hang out. It's a cool place in Midtown. Go check it out. It's at 1901 Taft. And listen, if you don't feel like getting off the couch, that's fine. You can have Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub. Just pick up the phone, hop on the internet, and get it delivered straight to your house. It's 1901 Taft, Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, or look them up on Facebook at CNI713. That's just search for CNI713 on Facebook. Get all the information you need. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world with Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
45 minutes into the first hour of The Usual Suspects, and I guess it's the right time to cover yesterday's biggest story, which is a story that I'm sure won't go away for quite a while. That is the Houston Rockets being up for sale. And Barry, with you being on the road, I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but because of the fact that we have very astute listeners, and we ourselves can sometimes find a nut even as blind squirrels, the names that we threw out yesterday during the show came out publicly to announce their interest in creating groups, and in the case of Tillman Fertitta, just flat out being interested in purchasing the team. Tillman Fertitta interested, Mattress Mack going on Channel 13 to say he's already talked to a group of his friends that are interested in buying the team. So two local, well-known guys already throwing their name in the hat to say they would be interested in the Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, it totally makes sense. And I did see, and I had forgot about this. I wish I could give credit to the person that tweeted it. Darren Ravel, I think, was who it was. But he had mentioned that at one point, if you remember when Les Alexander was going to buy the team, Tillman Fertitta also bid on the team, but came up short by $4 million. He bid $81 million. Leslie Alexander bid $84 million or $85 million, and that's why he got the team and not Tillman Fertitta. So fast forward, what, 20-something years?
Yeah.
And now Tillman Fertitta gets to try again, and instead of it costing him $81 to $85 million, it's going to cost him, you know, just a cool $2 billion now.
Did you see the estimated value as of last night?
Oh,
As of last night, the estimated value is $1.6 billion. And okay. You know, to your point, that means in negotiations and as offers go, if there's a bidding war, you're probably going to start, Nick, you're going to be right on the button when you started saying in the $2 billion range, it's not out of the realm of possibilities.
Yeah, if there's someone that wants the team that bad, yeah, it could potentially go that high. But it really depends on someone really wanting the team that bad. When you start saying stuff like, I'm showing interest, it doesn't tell you whether or not you're just interested or you really, really want it. Like some people, it's their lifelong dream. Like it's their only hobby. It's the only thing that they do. Kind of like what you were explaining about Les Alexander.
Yeah.
So I don't know what kind of owner we're going to get. I kind of would like, this is just my preference and I could be completely off, I'd rather have one owner, one guy that's completely invested into the team that really wants to win, as opposed to like multiple owners or like an investment group or whatever you want to call it. I would rather have just one owner, but we'll see how it goes.
I mean, the thing is, to your point, Nick, is even when Mr. Alexander bought the team, there were minority owners, and there's always going to be kind of a friction between them when it comes down to like decision making and control and power and things like that. So when you're putting a group together, in the case of Mattress Mac, I don't know his net worth, but I'm already saying that he's got a group of people together. It probably means you got to pull the resources to get to the price tag, as opposed to Tillman, who basically can just do his own thing. It's probably going to factor in from a standpoint of control and from a standpoint of easeability and being able to get the deal fully executed, so you don't have to do the background checks on all the people involved in an investor group, as opposed to Tillman just coming to the forefront and going, yeah, I got this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Nick, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, I looked it up on Wiki, and Mattress Mac, according to Wiki, says his net worth is $75 million. So I would imagine he'd have to raise some serious funds to get up to that price point. But I don't know. I mean, I guess it's okay as long as you have one guy that calls all the shots. Like if you have multiple owners and one guy is actually operating it, I guess it's okay. But
so Mattress Mac is only worth $75 million.
According to Wiki. Only, yeah.
That's
only 75.
Does that surprise you, or is that?
He says tongue in cheek.
Yeah, I was gonna say tongue in cheek.
No, that's are you kidding me? A dude that had for the longest time had a single furniture store.
And it was
one
tents.
Furniture store.
There were no walls. Yeah, and it initially was tents.
I remember, this was before your time in Houston. I remember watching wrestling as a kid at 8 years old. And they used to do it at the Sam Houston Coliseum. And they had this almost like a stage with a backdrop. And Paul Bosch would be out there. And this weird screaming dude dressed in a mattress would come out there and start yelling about saving you money with some cash in his hand. And that's how, this was like when I was like, 7, 8 years old. That's how far back, that's when Mattress Mac started. He was doing live spots on wrestling locally on like, what would it be equivalent now to like UPN Channel 20 or something.
Yeah, right.
Super late at night on a Saturday. It was awesome. I still remember that to this day. So you talk about humble beginnings. Yeah, he basically built it from that, selling mattresses on the side of the road, to a net worth of $75 million.
Yeah.
With one furniture store for most of that time. Now he's expanding.
Right.
But he did all of that with one. That's amazing. That's pretty
bad. It really is. I mean, there's a reason why he goes out as a motivational speaker and as a business speaker to tell people how to do things in their business better. But like you, I wasn't here when that was going on. But when I got to town, it was Max Big Top. I mean, literally, it was a furniture store under circus tents. It wasn't the building that you see on I-45 now with the warehouse behind it and another warehouse down the road. And like you said, the two other showrooms. You talk about just building it from the ground up. It started with tents before they could put four solid walls around a showroom, and now look where it is. So $75 million is pretty impressive.
Not bad, but yeah, that would make him, I'm sure, as far as pitching in on a party, that's going to make him one of the minority owners, but still maybe one of those guys that's spearheading it. Now, so with $75 million as a net worth, you could go out and get loans and everything else that you need if that's what you wanted to do. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, and again, we don't want to speculate, but like I said yesterday, I mean, and I talked to several people who reached out to me in the last 24 hours.
Get him on the show, Joel.
Who?
You're buds with him.
I talked to him last night.
Come on.
I can work on that.
Let's do it.
I mean, the big thing though is when you look at it, it's the other side of the equation. I had several people calling me last night, and everybody's wondering the same thing. Just why in the world is less selling? Simply, there's got to be more to the story simply because everybody said exactly what we said yesterday. The man is so passionate about sports, about the team, about winning, and about Houston. It's everybody had the same response of shock in the fact that he's selling this team. But the good news for Houstonians and sports fans of the Rockets is, thankfully, he said right off the top, I'm going to only sell to people that are going to keep it in Houston. And then to have these two prominent Houstonians step up to say they're going to throw their name in the hat has to make people feel a little bit better, because the only other factor that's missing there, Barry, is something we talked about yesterday, which is your ability to want to win. Because we all know that there are owners that like the fact that an NBA team is profitable, but they're not willing to take the chances Les has taken with Barkley, Pippen, McGrady, now Chris Paul. Moves like that. You've got to have someone that wants to win so badly that they're willing to take risks.
Yeah, because you just, God, just a businessman alone. I want a competitor. I want a guy. I want a Mark Cuban type. You know what I mean? And I think that's Tilman Fertitta. Tilman Fertitta, look what he's doing with U of H, the way he was trying to move that program forward and make them a serious threat. You know what I mean? And when it comes to football, I want a guy like that. And I think that's Mattress Mack. I think that's Tilman Fertitta. Those are also, you know, by no coincidence, guys that have made their fortune in this city and understand what the passion that this city has for sports teams. You know, the diehard fans, there's some, you know, fly by nights and transient folks in the city, but there's a ton of diehard Houstonians that live and die with their sports team. So you just want a guy that gets that. I would be scared to death to see like a what's his name? The Redskins owner.
Dan Snyder.
Yes. Oh God. Just please don't let that happen. That's all. That's my biggest fear.
Yeah. I'm
by the way, Mark Villalobos just tweeted. I've retweeted it, but he tweeted a picture of exactly what I remember from my childhood. It's Mattress Mack dressed in a mattress.
Fantastic. Oh,
that's so amazing.
Boy, look at how young he was too. But that just shows you how long he's been in Houston too, which is a good sign. If you are looking for that kind of owner, that's going to be
same haircut,
Houston loyal. Yeah. So that's a good sign. So we can talk about that if you'd like. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us up on Twitter as we continue to roll on with the show with one in the books and two to go. Plenty more on the agenda. Right now, I want to tell you guys about the No Excuses Summer Pro League. It is a fantastic league filled with NBA-type talent as they go on and play games at Fondy Rec Center on Mondays and Wednesday nights, two games nightly, and you can see the likes of Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, Bobby Brown, Jonathan Simmons, formerly of the Spurs, now the Orlando Magic, Joe Young, who's from U of H, playing with the Pacers, Isaiah Taylor, who's been filling up the summer league for the Rockets, Isaiah Cannon, the ex-Rocket, and much more. You see these guys play in the NBA. Now you can see them up close and personal, and you don't have to pay a thing. Parking is free, and so is admission. All you got to go to noexcusesfoundation.net. You can see the schedule. You can see the teams. You can find out who's playing when. But go down there and check out some of the action because it's fantastic games, all competitive, all uniforms and up and down action, but it's not street ball. It's not and one mixed tour. It's guys that are trying to make an impression, trying to get a look at the NBA, and NBA guys that are trying to stay in shape, like Corey Brewer, who we saw on opening night, trying to make sure he hones his skills and stays sharp. That's the kind of things you're going to see, and they're going to be fan-friendly. Guys are accessible. They sign autographs. They take pictures. Fantastic for the family or for your friends. Check it out. NoExcusesFoundation.net. It's the No Excuses Summer Pro League at Fondy Rec Center, right on the outskirts of downtown H-Town.